I'm afraid to come out of my little box here. Jesus Christ, what is going on? Honest to God, I don't know how to approach the topic. I really don't. But let's listen to Governor Palin on CNBC as. The anchor guy, who was it, Kudlow, tries, well, here, just listen.
Is this police flap state investigation going to disqualify you from becoming Senator McCain's vice presidential candidate?
Well, it shouldn't disqualify me from anything, including progressing the state's agenda here towards more energy production so we can contribute more to the U.S., nor should it dissuade any kind of agenda progress in any arena, because, again, I haven't done anything wrong, and through an investigation of our lawmakers who are kind of looking at me as a target, we invite those questions so that we can truthfully answer the questions. But as for that VP talk all the time, I tell you, I still can't answer until somebody answers for me. What is it exactly that the VP does every day? I'm used to being very productive and working real hard in administration. We want to make sure that that VP slot would be a fruitful type of position, especially for Alaskans and for the things that we're trying to accomplish up here for the rest of the U.S. before I can even start addressing that that question.
Well, I worked in the White House during President Reagan's first term. Let me assure you, and I've spent a lot of time in the Bush White House as a journalist in meetings with interviews. It's a pretty big job,
well,
Governor. It's a real big job. You'd be surprised how big the VP job is these days.
Okay, yeah. You got to be able to start wars. You got to be able to hide things. You've got to be able to set people up for prison terms. You've got to be able to dodge and weave around legitimate congressional inquiries into what crimes you've committed last week. You've got to steal. You've got to be able to commit fraud. You have to be able to order hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths. You have to sneer. You have to have wires in your heart. What else, Governor Palin? I'm just trying to help. Not trying to be a jerk here. Just trying to help. You don't know what the VP does. Think of everything rotten and stinky and disgusting in government, federal government, not like the state of Alaska there where everything is hunky-dory. Think about the federal government, Governor, and everything that sucks, stinks, and is foul, vile, illegal, unmentionable. That will be your job. Doesn't that sound like fun? Oh, damn. She can't answer the question until somebody answers for her what exactly the VP does every day. Okay. I don't know where to go with this topic. Here we are at the end of the day. It's been what 11, 12 hours since McCain made his announcement, and this topic has been hammered every way from Sunday. This is a holiday weekend, so you know, come Tuesday morning, it'll just be I don't know. Maybe it'll be a story, or maybe not. But there is so much. Here's a statement from the Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund. Their statement says, quote, Senator McCain's choice for running mate is beyond belief. By choosing Sarah Palin, McCain has clearly made a decision to continue the Bush legacy of destructive environmental policies. Sarah Palin, whose husband works for BP, has repeatedly put special interests first when it comes to the environment. In her scant 2 years as governor, she has lobbied aggressively to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling, push for more drilling off Alaska's coast, and put special interests above science. Ms. Palin has made it clear through her actions that she's unwilling to do even as much as the Bush administration to address the impacts of global warming. Her most recent effort has been to sue the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to remove the polar bear from the endangered species list, once again putting big oil before science. As unbelievable as this may sound, this actually puts her to the right of the Bush administration. And it goes on and on. She's in favor of shooting wolves from airplanes or helicopters. She is completely anti-abortion. It's either in all circumstances or only if the life of the mother is in jeopardy. Absolutely screaming anti-gay. Does not believe in evolution. Believes in the this weird religionist version of creationism. This is astonishing. Plus the fact, I know you've heard it 9 million times today. Her previous experience, in addition to her year and a half as a governor, was the mayor of a 9,000 person town. The little village where I kind of live outside of has 11,000. Jesus God. Now, the condescending attitude that McCain displays with this, the attitude to women of you didn't really want a leader. And whether Hillary Clinton, whether one agreed with her positions or not, and I never did, she's a corporatist, a Republican light. But she certainly knows how to get done in the U.S. Senate what she wants done. Now, what she wants done is not necessarily the best idea for the American public or global peace, or, you know, pick a topic. But she is still experienced, and her followers. I'm just wondering now about the Pumas, so-called. I saw a Puma interviewed on Hardball tonight, and the Puma that was interviewed made it very clear that the 18 million people who voted for Hillary, a large number of them will find this extremely satisfactory and will vote now for McCain because he has a female on the ticket. Or as Joe Scarborough says on MSNBC, a woman. He has a woman on the ticket now. Well, is this what the Pumas, is this what the Hillary supporters wanted? I got the impression that the answer is yes. The way I got ripped a new body orifice, as did a lot of liberal talk show hosts for not supporting Hillary, the point was made over and over again that we were being anti-woman, not anti-Hillary, just being anti-woman. We were sexist pigs because we refused to go along with her agenda or her voting record. And the Pumas, the Party Unity My Ass crowd, who have been threatening to vote for McCain, are you really going to do it? I think you will. You will vote against your own best interests because you are extremely misguided or something, I don't know. Or you are as big of sexist and misogynist as you've accused those of us on the left who refuse to go along with the Clinton machine. I don't know how to sort this out. I have no idea. So I'm going to leave it up to you. We'll take some phone calls in the first hour here. The number is 800-989-1480. And keep it as concise as you can tonight. I would like to get as many callers in. And I, you know, my producer's telling me that I'm letting people ramble on way too long. So, okay, we're going to kind of try to cut back here a little bit, couple, 3 minutes max. So if you want to say something about this, I mean, we've been talked at all day long by, you know, the wide-eyed screamers on talk television. I have no idea what to add. I don't know what to add. It's just, it's astonishing. Astonishing. I'm all for it. I think this is a wonderful choice from my point of view. Oh, hell yes. Oh, hell yes. I think it's great. Because this will finally, I think, convince the suburban women who seem to be a target audience now that the Republicans really do hate them. To pick someone like this governor to be the Republican vice presidential candidate as a sop to women. I mean, this is astonishing. It is so blatant. It is so in your face. I don't know where to go with this. I have no idea. It's astounding. But I just wonder if you Pumas now, what are you going to do now? Here's what you wanted, right? Here's what you wanted, right? Go ahead, vote for McCain, please.
Than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. If you remember when Bush 1 nominated Clarence Thomas, there was an opening on the Supreme Court. So he nominated Clarence Thomas, Pappy Bush. And He was asked at the time if he really thought that Clarence Thomas, whose judicial experience and whose legal experience was iffy at best, Clarence Thomas was kind of a freak. We don't have to rehash that horror that occurred during the Thomas hearings anymore. We have to rehash the horror that occurred during the Bork hearings. But Pappy Bush was asked, do you really think that of all the people qualified to sit on the Supreme Court, that this man, Clarence Thomas, is the best America has to offer? And with a straight face, he said yes. Now, I think anyone with above a fourth grade education understood precisely what Pappy Bush was doing. This was tokenism in its most blatant form. This screamed tokenism. Clarence Thomas, being the type of person that he was, didn't care. It didn't make any difference to Clarence Thomas. You want to call me a token? Call me a token. I am going to be a Supreme Court justice. Okay. But my friends who understood this issue to a far greater degree on a racial level than I ever did, in other words, my friends who were of, African descent, here in Georgia, especially friends of mine that live down in Savannah, where Clarence Thomas grew up and family lived, so on and so forth, made it very clear to me that black folk understood what Clarence Thomas's appointment was. And they resented the hell out of it, because Clarence Thomas, who had used affirmative action to get every single door open for him as a kid growing up, unlike Barack Obama, of course, it's a different generation, and I acknowledge that. But the first thing that Clarence Thomas wanted to do was slam the door so that other folks could not use affirmative action. I mean, the guy, Clarence Thomas, is not arguably, definitively, the worst Supreme Court justice ever in modern times to sit on the bench. A horrible, horrible miscarriage of justice, no pun intended, in putting this freak on the bench. Now, as far as Palin is concerned, if anyone out there honestly believes that this was anything other than taking, a dead fish, a dead wolf, a dead animal, and just smacking the hell across the face of women in this country. You talk about tokenism. If he wanted to pick a conservative woman with experience as his running mate, okay. How many of them are out there? I mean, even Rudy Giuliani said, I used to be a mayor and I look good in a dress. But no. He picks Sarah Palin. Now, how many women And you Pumas, you must be really twisted in knots tonight. But you can get your revenge. You can let all those sexist sons of bitches who refuse to vote for Hillary because you know she was a woman. You can get your revenge. Here's all you need to do. Go into that voting booth November 4th and pull that lever from McCain. Do it, girls! I mean, Palin! A heartbeat away from the presidency. Oh, my God. A woman who... Oh, I can't go on. I can't go on. But just keep in mind, and I don't know, somebody sent me an email, said that gay folk will like her. In a pig's eye, this woman is about as homophobic as they come. I don't care. She may have said something about domestic partners one time that could have been interpreted as pro- domestic, but that's not true. This is a Christian fundamentalist. She doesn't even believe in evolution as science. It doesn't exist as science. And kill the wolves from low-flying aircraft. And oh my God! And no more abortion. And just on and on. In other words, a perfect Republican woman. So I'd just like to know, and I don't, I'm just saying this rhetorically because I really don't want to know. But in my fantasies, I like to know how many of the Pumas are going to vote for McCain now. The people identify themselves as Pumas or Hillary supporters who are just so pissed off because those dirty, rotten, filthy males wouldn't let Hillary win, right? That's the argument. Well, here's your female. Here she is. The fact that you would vote for McCain, though, is a clear indication that you didn't give a goddamn about Hillary's voting record. You didn't care who she, what she did. You just wanted the gender issue, which makes you a sexist, misogynist freak. Right? But the door is wide open for you. Here's your female vice president. Step into the booth. Please do this. Do it for Uncle Mike and vote for McCain. Shake us like a fish. You pet me on the head.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. I forgot one thing when Governor Palin said she wasn't sure what vice presidents do, and I gave a list. Paul emails in, Mike, you forgot one. The vice president also has to take charge of NORAD and make sure they stand down when airplanes are hitting buildings. Jimmy in Phoenix writes, Sarah Palin for vice president. This comes from the same people who voted in a cheerleader as president. Remember? Yeah. And Abby is the one that wrote in, 9/11, Rudy is crying his eyes out tonight. He was quoting as saying, I was once a mayor and I looked damn good in a dress. I don't know. This will probably be the last sound bite we play, and then we're going to go to your phone calls here. But this was McCain. First of all, have you heard her voice? You know, I thought too much cappuccino Perino was irritating. And I'm not saying this because it's a female voice. I mean, come on. See, now I'm getting paranoid because, well, I'm a sexist son of a bitch misogynist because I just wouldn't vote for Hillary. Yeah, okay. But if you've heard Governor Palin's voice, it's like fingers down a chalkboard. It's like, oh, my God. But here's McCain. introducing her today. And, okay, I'm going to inject on the program tonight the first element of hardcore sexist bat crap into the discussion of Governor Palin. And I apologize in advance. I shouldn't do this, but it just got my attention. It really got my attention. When she was speaking today, the way McCain kept looking at her ass. I mean, he couldn't take his hands, his eyes, off her ass. No matter where she stood behind that podium, he kept looking. Did you notice that too? Okay, so she's a former Miss Congeniality, and nice looking. So what? I mean, Barack Obama's nice looking too, but I don't think, that Joe Biden was staring at his ass. Maybe he was. I don't know. But McCain! Today, you can see those little arms of his just going twitch, twitch, and he's just looking at the governor's ass. I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, John, you really shouldn't do that part. I mean, this whole thing is surreal enough, but quit looking at her ass. And her husband's standing right there, too. Not that that matters, but, oh! So, here's McCain. Introducing Governor Palin, we can assume this beauty queen. He's got a thing for beauty queens, doesn't he? Ex-beauty queens. Wasn't his wife? Yeah. We can assume this one isn't a pill-popping beer heiress, but she's still a colorful choice. She really is. For one thing, she looks a hell of a lot happier on camera than Lieberman would, and you'll never hear Governor Palin say, "Oh, I went home today, and Hadassah just, oh, Jesus Christ, I've got to target missiles, and I have to go home and listen to this? Aye."
The person I'm about to introduce to you was a union member and is married to a union member.
Boo!
And understands the problems, the hopes, the values of working people. Knows what it's like to worry about mortgage payments and...
Let me interrupt. Do you all understand that he's only met her twice prior to this introduction today? Twice. Okay, go ahead.
Health care and the cost of gasoline and groceries. A standout high school point guard.
Oh, there you go.
A concerned citizen who became a member of the PTA.
All right.
Then a city council member.
Yay!
And then a mayor and now a governor.
Wow!
Beat the long odds to win a tough election on a message of reform and public integrity. And I am especially proud to say in the week we celebrate the anniversary of women's suffrage, devoted wife and a mother of five. She's not from these parts, and she's not from Washington.
Where's she from?
When you get to know her, you're going to be as impressed as I am.
What's she got?
She's got the grit, integrity, good sense, and fierce devotion to the common good.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we need in Washington today.
Yeah!
She knows where she comes from.
Yeah!
And she knows who she works for.
Me!
She stands up for what's right, and she doesn't let anyone tell her to sit down.
Right!
She's fought oil companies and party bosses and do-nothing bureaucrats and anyone
Woo-hoo!
Who puts their interests before the interests of the people she swore an oath to
serve.
She's exactly who I need. She's exactly who this country needs to help me fight. To help me fight the same old Washington politics of me first and country second.
Oh, my God.
My friends. And fellow Americans.
What?
I am very pleased.
Yeah?
And very privileged to introduce to you.
Who?
The next Vice President of the United States, Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
And I have to add, she's got a rocking ass. I've been standing up here for 20 minutes looking at it. Woo! Let's see now. What was it about Barack Obama? The only thing the McCain campaign has been able to say about Obama is he didn't have enough experience. Oh, Jesus. God. Although she was in the PTA. She was in the PTA. And I've been in PTAs. And let me tell you, when you've been in a PTA and you're on a committee and you have some jerkwad on the committee who, goes to the nearby Baptist church and just doesn't believe we ought to be teaching that communist evolution stuff, it can get downright funky. So maybe being on the PTA is a good thing. Hell, I don't know anymore. Let's do some phone calls here, starting with Bill in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
It's madness. I feel like I'm in the third circle of hell.
We were watching that tonight, and my wife, I said, is he looking at her ass, or is he looking at the lectern? And
all right.
Like, no, he's looking at her ass.
So you guys saw it, too?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It was so obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's my thought. I've always thought there's an 800-pound gorilla in this whole election, and I think that's his health. Back on the 23rd of May, his campaign released like 1,200 pages of his health records, but they, in a real short, I think it was like a 90-minute or two-hour time span, just yeah. to a select group of reporters. And, I mean, what they peeled off that, I mean, he's got vertigo. He's got blood in his urine. He's got degenerative arthritis. He's got diverticulitis. He's got high blood pressure. He's got high cholesterol. February 6th of this year, he had a squamish cell carcinoma carved out of his leg. 2 months later, he had 6 precancerous polyps taken out of his colon. He smoked for 24 years. I mean, and this mayor of Wasilla is right behind waiting.
You're displaying a complete a lack of faith, Bill, or even worse. Let me just ask you. I just have to come right out and ask you. Are you against her because she's a woman?
No. No.
You gave me a straight answer. I'm surprised. It's kind of kidding. That's what everybody who didn't vote, all the men who would not vote for Hillary, were against her because she was a woman, and the women who didn't vote for women were self-hating women, kind of like Jews who believe there should be an honest settlement with the Palestinians in Israel. They're self-hating Jews. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm absolutely mystified.
Well, the mayor of Wasilla will have a hard weekend, I have a feeling.
I have a feeling, too. All right, thanks, Bill. I appreciate
it. No pun intended.
Yeah. Stop! Don't you guys start now. Bill. Where was Bill from? Arizona. Yeah. So he noticed it, too. And so did his wife. I sat there today and I thought, no, come on, Malloy. Get your head out of the gutter. But
Well, McCain is short. He can't look very many places.
You know, one of the things he left off, not only does she have all these qualifications, she was the mayor of Wasilla, she was on the PTA, she also agreed that she'll house sit if necessary. All right, back to Bill is calling from California, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I noticed something on, I think it was MSNBC tonight. They showed a family portrait of them, and I'm counting the kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait
right.
a minute, there's not 5.
Right.
Now, I know she's proud of the fact that she didn't abort her Down syndrome child.
Right.
But she's not proud enough to put him in a frickin' photograph.
Yeah, I don't know. I missed that. I don't know what that's all about. I really don't. I just know the whole thing is bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. How many conservative Republican women are there out there who have either been senators, representatives, governors, served, Republican presidents? Hold on a second, Bill. Let me put you on hold and I'll come back.
Not a problem.
I got to do a break here. How many of them are out there with mountains of experience? Not that I would vote for any of these thugs, but I can't get my mind around this. We'll be right back.
Nighty-night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. God, I was planning on working the program tonight, but I just don't have to. The emails that are coming in are astonishing. We're going to get to these after the break. We're talking with Bill in California, listening on Sirius. All right, where were we there, Bill?
Hey, how you doing? You know, I just don't understand somebody that she can sit there and go along and say that, you know, she's got a Down syndrome child, but yet she won't bring him out and parade him in front of the press. I mean, it's like two-faced. I don't understand it.
Well, I don't either, but I unless you have a Down syndrome child, I guess we're not really qualified on how,
you're probably right there.
You know, how and when we bring that child out for the kind of exposure that a screaming mass of people and cameras and lights and everything. I don't know how the child would be affected. I don't know if it's a boy or girl, and I'm embarrassed about that, but I think the child is still a baby.
I have no idea either. Yeah.
And that would be, I would imagine that not wanting to freak out any 8 or 9 month old, whether it's a Down syndrome child or not, I think that was probably a good decision on that one. So.
All right. Well, I'll back off a little bit.
All right. All right.
Thank
all right,
you.
Bill. Thanks.
Okay,
all right. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your call. I have to, aside from everything else nasty and ugly that I may say about McCain's choice, whether I say it deliberately or sarcastically or whatever, I have got to respect a married couple who finds out. I don't know why they would have, what's that test called, Kathy, where they check the fold on the back of the neck for a Down syndrome child? Do you know what that is? Okay, you didn't hear me. Can you hear me now? Okay. What is the test, amniocentesis, is that it? And there's another test where I look at the fold on the back of a fetus's neck. What's that called?
That's what they're looking for. It's called a nuchal fold defect.
Nuchal fold.
N-U-C-C-A-L, I think. And they also do chorionic villi sampling. There's two or three things that are in addition to amnio that they can do to test for.
Well, I know that they had at least one of those tests, Governor Palin and her husband, and were told that, and I don't think they were given an odds, I think they were told, the fetus that you're carrying inside of you will be Down syndrome.
They can also look with high-frequency ultrasound and see if there's that characteristic palmar crease, the center crease across the palm of the hand on a fetus.
And when they found out that they were going to have a Down syndrome baby, they did not abort. Now, you can take whatever position you want to on that one, but I have to respect it. Let me put it that way. I respect the fact that someone who claims to be anti-abortion, because I'm so used to the hypocrisy, if in this one area Governor Palin is not a hypocrite, then more power to her. And I mean that sincerely. Because, again, Republican women, especially the anti-privacy women, where it concerns an abortion, are usually the biggest hypocrites. Let one of their children or themselves get an unexpected pregnancy. They'll be the first ones to take a vacation, if you know what I mean, and come back all clean and cleaned out. So to the extent that Governor Palin and her husband, vis-a-vis their anti-abortion stance, decided to go ahead and have the child. I will respect that. I absolutely will respect that. All right, a couple of these emails now, real quick, and most of these are from women. This is from Kim in Vallejo, California. Mike, I'd never actually tried on my tinfoil hat, but I thought tonight I might give it a try. Kim is going to explain the McCain pick. I was absolutely confused by this choice. Most people think it is to try to capture the disgruntled Hillary voters, but I think that is unlikely with Palin being anti-choice. not to mention McCain's dismal voting record on women's issues. So here's my theory. This choice is the way the Republicans will steal the election. In 2004, when all of the exit polls switched to Bush's favor at the last moment in Ohio and other states, the Republicans explained it away by saying, well, all of the values voters must have come out in droves to vote. I think ex-Hillary voters will turn out in droves to vote and conveniently flip this likely Obama win to McCain. Quite a foolproof plan, because the only people Democrats will be able to blame are themselves for not putting Hillary on the ticket. Or so the ever-faithful, unquestioning corporate media will say, on cue. I only thought of this when I saw a McCain pundit on Larry King say, when questioned on Palin's inexperience, quote, we women are so tired of being undermined and overlooked. It wasn't normal, and I thought that there must be an explanation out there somewhere. Is this too out there? Kim, no, I agree with you. That would be the perfect foil, the perfect foil. Set the voting machines to, like they have for the past two elections, two presidential elections, God knows how many congressional elections, set the voting machines to steal every fifth vote and put it in the Republican column, and then, yeah, you can just say, well, sure, the exit polls, you talked to a lot of Democrats, but what you didn't realize is the disgruntled Hillary voters who really voted for me, John McCain, my friends. So, no, I don't think your tinfoil hat is on at all. I think that is a very plausible idea.
Down syndrome or not, they sure give their kids funny names in Alaska.
Well, they did. This
Track
couple did.
And Trig and Bristol and Willow. I mean, it sounds like a bunch of elves out of Lord of the Rings or something. I'm not making that up.
We're I know.
I have one more sound clip when we come back of her introducing Twig and Spittle. Door stomp. I don't know. We're gonna hear it when we come back.
Oh God. Oh please.
At least she wasn't dressed like a pumpkin. I have to say her pantsuit actually was flattering as John McCain.
As McCain,
said.
Yeah, right. Well, please let me wake up from this. Please Goddess, let me wake up from this. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, a couple of emails here, and then we're going to introduce you to Governor Palin. If you weren't around a TV today, or you're doing something weird like, you know, working, and you missed it. Reg writes, Reg is female. Almost all these are from women. Reg White writes, enough. This has gone beyond unbelievable. It really has. I'm about to jump on the bandwagon and campaign for John and Sarah just to qualify for admission to Creedmoor Psychiatric Center. I do believe this country deserves to go over the cliff and self-destruct. I really do understand what descending into madness is like. Not a day goes by without another amazing chapter in Kafka's New America. I've really had it, Reg. Oh, why am I laughing? I hear you, Reg. this is from Debate. Okay, D. Mike, this is a terrible choice. What qualifications does she have? She's very pretty, however. I have learned that this lobbyist really did have an affair with McCain and may still be doing so, even to this day. He treats his wife Cindy like crap, and he did call her a C-word, just like the book The Real McCain said. Now he'll probably chase this one. I live in Arizona. Okay, I live in Georgia. Pleased to meet you. Yeah, remember the lobby? Remember that story about the lobbyist he was stupping? How quickly that flopped up, flopped down. Nobody wanted to talk about that. This is from Eleanor regarding Governor Palin. Eleanor writes, I'm kind of pissed. I was secretary of my local needlepoint group, so I missed my penultimate calling. I do have one question about the new nominee. When she and her husband are firmly ensconced in the vice presidential mansion, where in the hell is he going to put his boat? Eleanor, P.S. While McCain is staring at her backside, notice his hands. He's twirling his wedding ring. What a guy. And thanks, Eleanor. Eleanor is about the fifth person who emailed me about the wedding ring thing. Man. This is from Pam in Seattle. Hi, Mike. Not only was McCain looking at Palin's ass, but he also kept touching his wedding ring. I thought that was creepy. What was he thinking? Something like, does this band on my finger, my friends, mean that I can't get together with this fine lady standing there next to me? Band in Seattle. God, you people are evil. Here's from a guy, Lou in Arkansas. Lou writes, Mike, my wife and I also noticed McCain's obvious eye contact with his boss's VP choice's ass, which reminded me of a picture I saw of Bush sitting behind the shoe gal a while back and showing the same eye contact. Wonder if the form of their ass is part of the vetting process for Republican females. You people are awful. Rainey in Ohio writes, Mike, the baby was with Palin and the rest of the family at the rally. So she did parade the baby out today. Yeah, three or four of you pointed that out. Their youngest child was at the press conference. What else we got here? Quickly. Irish Dave writes, Mike, anybody out there have video of Cindy Lou's reaction to the target lock Coot had on Sarah's caboose? I know with snake eyes it's often hard to tell. The target lock? Well, that's right. He was a Navy pilot. This is from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, who writes, the fat cats who own the GOP aren't going to like having her along, Palin. Funny thing, though, everything I read says this is a calculated move by McCain to attract disgruntled Hillary voters. I see it quite differently. There's every chance that McCain is going to crash and burn in November, and he knows it. If only because of his continuation of so many bad Bush policies. And he now has a ready-made excuse for why that will happen. He can say it was a poor choice, maybe even one suggested by his wife, and that he was just interested in the women's vote after Hillary had been treated so badly, etc., which allows him to ignore all of the other salient policy positions and attitudes that are distinctly his that will be the principal reason for his losing. She's batty as can be, but no more so than the most extreme in the Republican base. But even the wackos can't save the Republicans this time around. There's too much accumulated damage over the last 8 years. Palin is his insurance, McCain's insurance, against his having to take responsibility for losing. In a way, that suggests, unless by some miracle of electrons in voting machines, McCain already knows he's going down in flames, and this is his political ejection seat. It'd be the second time he goes down in flames, right? Kathy in Green Bay, Wisconsin writes, I'm not against her because she's a woman. I object to her nomination because I am a woman. I have over 15 years more experience managing professional offices with multinational clients and the budget that goes with them, which is a hell of a lot more executive experience than the good governor. I'm not qualified to be president or vice president, and it scares the hell out of me that she's the vice presidential nominee of a less than healthy presidential nominee. First, it was funny, but now that people are seriously considering that she's qualified, not so much. Kathy in Green Bay. Liz writes, subject line says, unbelievable. Mike, the Republicans have gone from pandering to soccer moms during elections to nominating one for vice president. They're even more coldly cynical than I thought was possible. Governor Palin's address today reminded me of every strongly opinionated PTA mom I've ever heard speaking before a Chamber of Commerce meeting. Alaska is a state with a total population of just over 670,000 people. No offense to Alaska, but being the governor of a state with the same population size as a city like Memphis, Tennessee, for 18 months does not count as qualifying executive experience for the vice presidency. Plus, her voice is really annoying. I can't stand to listen to her already, and it's been less than 24 hours. This is just pandering at its ugliest. If she had clapped like a giddy, or like a giddy cheerleader one more time, interrupting her own speech, I was going to puke. Did she do that? She clapped for... Oh, my God.
Well, they have a lot of seals up there.
That's true. They do. Mary Mack writes, why didn't McCain pick Lingle or Hutchinson if he wanted Pumas? What a nitwit McCain is. There are experienced women Republicans, including Linda Lingle, governor of Hawaii, and she's in her second term, and Kay Bailey Hutchinson, senior senator from Texas. He didn't pick them because they are pro-choice. Had he picked one of those two, the Democrats might have something a lot worse to worry about. It's an insult for him to choose this woman. He chose her because he wants the right-wing loony vote, because the Republicans have given up on the 1960s, 1970s stance they had in the era of Goldwater, where they believed in keeping the government out of our business. McCain himself used to be of that ilk, didn't he? Maybe he was always anti-choice. He's going to be as backwards as Bush on abortion. Bush ran as a moderate and sold out the moderate Dems that voted for him, who thought that he'd be as moderate in Supreme Court picks as Reagan or Bush Sr., but he wasn't. And clearly McCain is going to be as right-wing, too, regardless of what he would normally believe, because he'll do whatever he's told is the party line, this so-called maverick. Mark in San Diego writes, if we're going to elect a woman for her voice, we should have Marge from Indiana. Is this the same Mark? Mike, with this pair, I see women being required to pee on a stick to make sure they're not pregnant when they cross into Canada, Mexico, or get on an airplane seeking to get an abortion outside the country. Palin received applause from the worshipers when she gave lip service to Hillary Clinton and Geraldine Ferraro for their contribution to women in politics. Excuse me, these same agents of intolerance would have happily burned Clinton at the stake had she been either the nominee or the VP, and heaped contempt on Ferraro when she ran in the 80s. Last one here. This is from Gypsy. About this Palin woman, Hillary Rodham Clinton was never my candidate. Plainly put, I never trusted her an inch and still don't, although I think she gave a reasonably decent speech last night at the convention. That said, for months she worked her ass off, attracting votes and support, in short, paying her dues as a Democratic Party candidate in waiting. In the end, she lost. But even though she lost, she worked her ass off. Had she won, she would have earned the nomination. Now along comes this Palin woman who shares nothing with Hillary other than gender, who is being handed the position of VP ILF without shedding so much as one drop of sweat or accomplishing anything other than being the first term governor of Moose Burgers. And the women of this country are supposed to pony up and vote for her because, like Hillary, she's a woman. Gypsy. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that. Because your waist is small and your curves are kicking. And I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames in the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss. Because this girl's on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him. And I pull up quick to get with him. So, ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X go down, dial 1-900-MIX-A-LOT and kick them nasty thoughts. Baby, got... Oh, oh. My body too bootylicious for you, baby. For you, baby. For you, baby. My body too bootylicious for you, baby. You're not ready. How many times I say you're not ready? Watch my booty. Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey, right? With Mike Malloy. 21 past the hour. It really is just absolutely insane. I don't know what has happened. I really don't know what has happened this political season. After 8 years of madmen and madwomen in control of this country, well, actually longer than that, probably 12 years, maybe 16. Although Clinton, I don't even want to go there tonight. But certainly the past 8 years has just been utterly and absolutely insane. And I think we're seeing the result of that. I think we're all a little bit insane right now. I really do. The Hillary Barack thing was just, I've never seen that kind of gender racial schism in the Democratic Party. I've never seen people go so absolutely bat guano crazy, and still are. And this thing with the Republicans, I mean, it's come down to John McCain and this governor. Well, let's listen to Sarah Jean accepting McCain's offer of the office of vice president. Listen to her acceptance speech here and her list of career qualifications and her, the introduction of her family, Bristol, Willow, Piper, Track, and Trigg. You can't make this stuff up, and I think Kathy's right. This sound like elves, maybe, which is fine with me. Elves or fairies or, you know, wee folk. You know, forget college funds for these kids. Just set aside some money now for future psychotherapy.
I want to start with my husband, Todd. I promised Todd a little surprise for the anniversary presents, and hopefully he knows that I did deliver. And then we have... as after my husband, who is a lifelong commercial fisherman, lifetime Alaskan. He's a production operator.
He's a production,
operator in the oil fields up on Alaska's North Slope, and he's a proud member of the United Steelworkers Union.
Yay!
He's a world champion snow machine racer.
Yay!
Way back in high school.
Oh.
And I can tell you that he is still the man that I admire most in this world.
Yay.
Along the way, Todd and I have shared many blessings, and 4 out of 5 of them are here with us today. Our oldest son, Track, though, he'll be following the presidential campaign from afar. On September 11th of last year, our son enlisted in the United States Army. Track now serves in an infantry brigade, and on September 11th, Track will deploy to Iraq in the service of his country, and Todd and I are so proud of him. Next to Todd is our daughter Bristol, another daughter Willow, our youngest daughter Piper, and over in their arms is our son Trigg, a beautiful baby boy. His name is Trigg Paxton Van Palen.
Van Halen?
Some of life's greatest opportunities come unexpectedly.
Van Halen?
And this is certainly the case today. I never really set out to be involved in public affairs, much less to run for this office. My mom and dad both worked at the local elementary school.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we both grew up working with our hands. I was just your average hockey mom in Alaska. We're busy raising our kids. I was serving as the team mom and coaching some basketball on the side. I got involved in the PTA and then was elected to the city council. And then elected mayor of my hometown, where my agenda was to stop wasteful spending and cut property taxes and cut the people's
Stop!
And Mom will sew the curtains in the barn. And you know what, John? You and I will get out there and we'll be the presidents. You and I, yeah. I'll make some cupcakes and we'll have some of them hockey players come over and perform for everybody. And it'll be so exciting.
I got involved in the PTA. Well, this is what I've been telling the Nader people to do. I've been saying this to the Nader folks for 15 years. You know, first take over the PTA, and then take over the school board, and then the city council.
And it worked. I married a lumberjack. Look, he's on a snow machine right now. Where's our son, Twig?
Twig? No, it's Trigg. Oh, they have one named Twig?
I don't know. It's Twig or Trigg or Truck or Train or Track or Bristol or Braxton or...
This is...
Ain't I a pimp?
Pimp.
I could be the next president. Ladies out there, you Hillary disaffected voters, think you could get a woman in the White House. Look at me. I could bring my whole color family and all our snowshoes and blubber.
This has got to end.
Teach you about Okotuk and how to chew the fat, really chew the fat. Chew the fat for hours and hours from large mammals. Trigg Paxton Van Palen. We're going to get all the Van Palens out here. 8 is enough.
I'm sure she said Van Halen. I know she said Van Halen. All right. Can we please take a break? Thank you. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back.
I got to go cut down a tree. Make some hockey sticks. Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. All right, I'm coming back to your phone calls in just a second, but like I said, some of these emails. John in New York City wrote, Mike, after witnessing the subject line said, did you hear McCain's microphone feedback? Mike, after witnessing the Democrats' polished program in Denver, watching McCain's ragtag, pathetic gymnasium freak show was laughable. We appreciate your feedback, John. Eleanor, did it ever occur to any of the writers who are explaining why McCain chose this woman as opposed to any other that perhaps he did ask all the others and they turned him down? Yeah, that's a possibility. Tom writes, I live in Hollywood and have seen my fair share of aging insiders lining up young starlets to hump as their swan song before they have to leave fortunes to saggy wives. McCain's got his hump on. I'm sure nude photos will be appearing soon. And Tom, oh my God, you people.
Sad, you can just see John Edwards saying, I saw her first.
Yeah, really. No, Bill Clinton saying that. Mike from Connecticut writes, Mike, for the past 8 years, I've continually been asking myself, American voters can't be stupid enough to buy this. And they do every time. Now they want us to vote for a VP simply because she has a pair of ovaries. It's almost like the Republican Party is about to morph into a Monty Python skit. And the voters are still with them. Yeah. Does anybody, seriously, who listens to this program anyway, have any doubt whatsoever about the ongoing meme that you hear on this program all the time, that the American voter, for the most part, not you, I'm not talking about you, and I'm damn sure not talking about me, but the average voter is just dumber than a sack full of doorknobs. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Seriously, I wonder how many female Hillary supporters who are just so pissed off in their gender rage, how many of them are really going to vote for McCain now? With this example of absolute blatant in-your-face tokenism, if there's one, I think any female voter who votes because he picked this woman, votes because he picked this. I realize there are a lot of Republican voters who would do exactly what their husbands tell them to do, or their preachers, or their political leaders tell them to do. But I'm talking about so-called Democrats who are supporting Hillary, who have threatened all during the campaign, if she doesn't get on voting for McCain. If there's just one who votes for McCain, that is someone who is just utterly and absolutely, totally, completely a sexist. Tony with an I. This is a woman. Hi, Mike. I'm a Hillary supporter. I'm female of Hispanic descent on my father's side and white on my mother's side. Yes, I was disappointed Hillary did not win. It was initially going to write her in on the ballot. I was even more disappointed when Biden was chosen as VP. I decided that the correct course of action would be to educate myself. I read up on Joe Biden and Obama. I watched the convention on television. I was swayed. Of course, I was moved to tears by Hillary. However, I was also moved, although not to tears, by Barack Obama. Hillary said it best, was it about me or is it about the values I believe in? I am pro-choice. I believe in the dream Roosevelt gave us with the New Deal. I am absolutely disgusted with the current administration and its fiscally irresponsible policies. Growing up in Southern California, I've watched the demographic change drastically. I used to be a minority. Now, that is not the case. I fear that what this will do by McCain choosing this woman is galvanize the Latino vote. They are historically Catholic and anti-abortion. Palin's socially conservative stance is absolutely unacceptable to me, but what is even more unacceptable is that they have now changed the talking points from economics to Jesus ponies once again. Jesus pony? What is that? Stay calm, stay cool. Tony Van Nuys. What's a Jesus pony?
I don't know, but you know I could probably kill it and stuff it for you.
I'll bet you could. Hi, Mike. First time listener. I laughed so hard when I first turned on your show that I had to run and get my inhaler. About Sarah Palin, I have a theory. That is the only person who would say yes in the country. Everyone else sees him as a sinking ship and nobody wants to go down with him except Sarah. Marianne from Sedona. Ann in Chicago writes, as for McCain staring at Sarah's butt, your eyes were not deceiving you. We saw it too, though we thought we were imagining it. It's so comforting to know that others can verify what we thought we saw. Honestly, thought we were going nuts. Any medical worker can verify that gentlemen, as they age, can become emotionally labile. They lose their ability to self-censor, and many of us have found ourselves in unwanted, unsolicited, awkward, downright embarrassing situations when we first face their unwanted advances, until we are educated that this is not personal or uncommon, just an indication of their mental status. Scared yet? I know I'm getting more terrified by the minute. Ann writes, okay, she goes on, let's give McCain the benefit of the doubt and rack it up to age, despite his past, but let's not forget his history. Why is it so hard for us to believe he may have always been a lech? Let's not forget this stand-up maverick recently entered his wife in the Sturgis topless beauty contest. Anybody got the over and under on how quick it takes to enter Palin in the next beauty contest that comes along? Let's see how Cindy feels about this. Meow! All caps. Ashley, this could be big fun. Pass the popcorn. I like mine salty. Oh, you people are taking it right up to the edge tonight with your emails, aren't you? Huh? Right up to the edge. Oh, and the email I read from Gypsy, I left off the line because we ran out of time here, and I want to put it back in. Let me back up. Gypsy writes, and now along comes this Palin woman who shares nothing with Hillary other than gender, who is being handed the position of VP ILF, look it up, without shedding so much as one drop of sweat or accomplishing anything other than being the first-term governor of Moose Burgers. No slight intended to the good citizens of Alaska. And the women of this country are supposed to pony up and vote for her because, like Hillary, she's a woman. Apparently, we are utterly interchangeable to bastard blanks like John McCain. Hey, she's got a vagina. What's the difference? I don't expect much from Barack Obama either, but at least he doesn't present himself as an utter misogynist. Gypsy. Oh, man. Like I said, I was fully prepared to work tonight, but you folks have certainly eased the burden. All right, back to your phone calls. Robert is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Robert, thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, maybe Cindy McCain's dusting off the old prenup and taking a look at it tonight.
Might be a good idea. You know, I would have liked to have seen, like Irish Dave wrote, I would have liked to have gotten, taken a quick look at where Cindy McCain's eyes were when John McCain's eyes were where they were. You know what I'm saying?
I think I saw her standing there in the back, but she wasn't real close to him. They didn't want to have two women. It would have confused the picture as far as the visual.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be rough for a woman who becomes the wife of a man who cheated on his first wife with her, the second wife. I mean, that's got to be something that must hang in wife consciousness. Well, you know, he cheated with me on his first wife. What? And then the story of his little whatever it was with the lobbyist. Like I say, that story got air, sucked in a few breaths, and disappeared real quick. And now. Governor Palin, and there's a picture circulating, I think it's been photoshopped, but there's a picture circulating of Governor Palin that is
really... Yeah, I saw that.
Have you seen it? She's standing there at the bar?
Yeah. Oh, there's no different one. Sorry.
Oh, a different. Oh,
I saw another Photoshop picture of her with Wonder Woman pasted to her neck.
Oh my God!
Because she's so beautiful, you know.
You know, we really do live in just a filthy, sexist, racist society. We really do.
The TV influences everything now. Everything's entertainment. People don't think the nuclear weapons. We got nuclear weapons. This isn't a joke.
I know.
Mike, let me say something here before I tell you how. I'm going to tell you a super short, if you want me to.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Full version of how she became governor, which is a hilarious fluke.
If you can do it in a minute.
It'll be less than a minute.
Okay.
Murkowski, a Republican senator forever. If you're a Republican senator in Alaska, unless you die or quit, you stay there for life. So for 30 years, we had no choice. I lived there. We had no choice, okay? Finally, he quit the run for governor. He won. He resigned. People thought, finally, we'll get some kind of choice. He appoints his daughter senator.
Right.
So people go, we haven't had this choice in 30 years, and now he did all kinds of corrupt things. So he got to the Republican primary. She ran against him. Another guy ran against him. Murkowski, the incumbent Republican governor, people hated him so much, he only got 19% in his own primary. She won. She got the primary. That's the only reason, Republican incompetence and arrogance. That's how she got the primary.
Huh.
And then she won the general election because they it's such a Republican state.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. You know, she fluked into it, absolutely fluked into it. Now let me tell you a qualification McCain had to have, is my opinion. Someone shorter than them. She's shorter than them.
It
wasn't easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't easy to find.
That's a good point. She must have been standing on something when she was at that podium today because, or maybe it was the camera angle. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Here's Starship with Sarah.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It's 10 before the hour. All right, got an answer here. From somebody. Regarding Jesus ponies that Tony wrote about, the writer says, it's the punchline to a Saturday Night Live weekend update joke about what creationists call dinosaurs. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Tony wrote, too. She wrote back, it is a sarcastic quip on the dinosaurs because the creationists don't believe in evolution. I heard it somewhere that the next thing you know, they'll call them Jesus ponies. It made me laugh. Well, there you go, Tony. It was a Saturday Night Live sketch. Huh? How's that? All right. Back to the phone calls. Maggie is calling from Miami, listening to WINZ. Hey, Maggie.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm all right.
I just wanted to tell you, first of all, that I really like your the way you talk about Lieberman and how he complains about his wife. That to me is hilarious.
About Hadassah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't. Oh, never mind.
Every time you do that, I just laugh out loud. But anyway, I wanted to say that I'm a feminist. I am a Hillary supporter. I should say I was. Now I'm a Barack Obama supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not get behind this Miss Palin for the same reasons as some of your other callers and emailers have said that, I have to believe that a woman, she has some merit that she's gotten where she is in the political environment, because I think it's still a man's world.
Wait, what, are you talking about Hillary or Palin?
Well, I would talk about both of them in that sense. But I think that Hillary, as one of your other emailers had said, has really earned the spot where she evolved to. This lady, Palin, she kind of reminds me of Harriet Myers,
mm-hmm.
who was put in as a token, and, you know, she was there to replace apparently Sandra Day O'Connor, who was another lady who I believe very firmly earned the spot that she obtained.
Uh-huh.
And Harriet Myers was a joke. And I believe that that's the same thing. I believe it's a slap in the face to women.
Yeah, I agree. I think all of these appointments or nominations or that are done for obviously pandering reasons were I female. That's why I said tonight, the early part of the show, some of my black friends, I can remember way back in the day when Clarence Thomas was nominated by George Herbert Walker Bush. And aside from the fact that Clarence Thomas's politics were way different from the black folk that I hung out with at the time, their attitude to me was, because, you know, I said I had to find out, you know, what do you all, you know, I'm white, so I naturally think that every black person speaks for every other black person. You know, it's just part of my cross to bear. What do you all think of Clarence Thomas? And the answer that came back from all of them was, you know, he's a token, and we're pissed off because Clarence Thomas is not qualified to be a Supreme Court Justice. He is a token. This is some kind of a political play by George Herbert Walker Bush. So, I you know, tokenism to me is just an absolute slap in the face.
It is an insult.
Yeah, to the people who from whom the token comes, and it's awful. It's worse, I think, than outright discrimination.
Yeah, I mean, and I understood, I was very interested in the other caller who talked about how this lady got her position as governor, and it kind of reminded me of Catherine Harris here in Florida. You know, people get positions for all kinds of reasons, and often it doesn't have anything to do with their abilities. I mean, look at George Bush.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, you have to look beyond that. Now, a lot of people can say, well, Barack Obama doesn't have the depth of experience that some of these other people have, but he's been run through the mill.
Right.
And he has had to prove himself again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And he has had to step up to the plate. I just cannot, you know, go for somebody who is just put in for a tokenist reason, which is what I perceive this is.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. All right, Maggie, thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Jeff is calling from Louisville, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Jeff, are you there?
Here.
I think, okay, it sounded like some machine is eating you. All right, Jeff, I'm going to have to put you on hold. If you can get rid of all the background noise, we'll take your call. Jason is calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Jason. Welcome to the program, Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Going fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just going to make a short comment. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay.
I'm a little confused on how John McCain thinks that by electing this woman as his vice presidential running mate, how he's going to attract disgruntled Hillary supporters.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it's a well-known fact that any woman that's dumb enough to vote for another woman simply on that fact is a Republican who's going to get his vote anyway. But
right.
I'm not saying I'm a misogynist or anything like that, but the reasons I won't vote for her is she's got little experience involved in a scandal that involves power abuse. And, you know, I understand she's a pretty good point guard. I guess that's a plus.
Yeah, right. Or at least in high school basketball, I think. Don't put him on because we got to go to a break. We'll come back and talk to Southside Carl and the rest of your calls. So if you're on hold, stick around. We're talking about, and I hope this is the only night we really go into it to this degree. And it's my fault because I brought it up, but so much of what you all have had to say and write has been thoroughly entertaining to me. And God knows once in a while I deserve to be entertained with talk radio, since I don't listen to talk radio. Well, occasionally I'll get online and listen to Hartman or Jeff Farias or Randy, but or Sam or Rachel or Stephanie, the usual gang of bandits. We'll see you after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. Seven past the hour. A couple more quick emails here, then back to your phone calls. We are talking on the Malloy Show about McCain's selection today for VP, Alaska Governor Palin. Angry Mouse wrote this. It's posted at several places, including Daily Kos. Angry Mouse writes, "You think I'm stupid?" Or the headline is no, or the head is no Senator McCain. I'm not an idiot. Angry Mouse writes, "You think I'm stupid? You think I'm going to fall for it? You think that because I loved Hillary Clinton, gave money to Hillary Clinton, stood in the freezing rain for 2 hours to see her speak, put her sticker on my car, wore my pin around town, and supported Hillary Clinton to the very end that I will vote for you? You think I will forget every single one of my personal and political values just because there's a vagina on your pro-war, anti-woman, anti-science ticket? You, Senator McCain, are wrong. I'd love to see a woman in the White House. I would have loved to see a woman on Obama's ticket, but not this woman. Not a woman who thinks decisions about my body should be made by hateful old men in Washington. Not a woman who thinks science is a myth. Not a woman who thinks the Republican Party has anything to offer besides more war, higher taxes, oil dependency, and hate. I'm not falling for it, Senator McCain, because what you do not understand is that my support for Hillary was not about anatomy. It was about values. Hillary Clinton articulated and represented my dreams. You do not. Not even with a vagina on your pathetic ticket. This changes nothing. No way, no how. No McCain." Angry Mouse wrote that. And one more here. This is from Giovanna. Hi, Mike. I was never a Hillary supporter. Dennis was my man, so don't call me a puma. The sad thing about this choice of McCain's is that when it came to picking someone who might be able to take over should anything happen to him, he, or his handlers, the lobbyists, took the path we all expect Republicans to follow. Leave it in the hands of an unprepared twit. Experience? Judgment? I expect he might gain a few women voters, but he's going to lose about half of those Republicans who still have half a brain left. If I believed in a God, I'd ask for its help for our country because it looks like we're going to need it. At least this choice gave us all a good guffaw. At least little Sarah will give McCain a little lift in his step, or maybe a lift somewhere else, if you know what I mean. Giovanna? No, what do you mean? All right, back to your phone calls. Southside Carl is calling from Chicago, one of the homeboys. Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I'm all right.
Yeah, me too. How you getting? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
Yeah, I just have to get up early in the mornings and stuff now, man. It's hard for me to stay up.
Yeah, your voice always reminds me of an entire time in my life. It's just amazing. Every time I hear your voice, I'm right back in Chicago. It's 10 years ago. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So anyway, when I don't hear from you for a while, I go, you know, hey, Kathy, where's Southside Carl?
I a few times when I'm up there, I click on the computer and do the streaming. But I wanted to talk to you about this Harriet Myers choice thing.
right.
Last night when we were watching the convention and after it was over, I told my wife, I said, if any Republican was watching, they're going to be demoralized, and they're going to know they're in trouble. And that was, just how strong an effect I thought the Democrats handled their convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning when I started hearing this, I'm like, well, I just had told her, I said, they're going to do something desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like fear. You do things out of desperation. That's motivated a lot of times because of fear.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm thinking, John McCain, this is something that's popping up in his character. I mean, you know, like, he keeps talking about Nam, all right? And mm-hmm. I'm like wondering, well, did the guy actually have a flashback while he was watching last night, and that fear gripped him again? You know, I don't want to get hurt. I confess to anything you want. I'm wondering if fear gripped him again last night. Well, I'm going to lose. And I don't want to lose. I just don't want to lose.
Right, right.
But the serious side of it is this. If somebody can't control their fear, that's something to be concerned about. What if you have a crisis and you're the president and you can't control your fears?
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
subject to start a war.
That's right.
Or even worse, press the button releasing our missiles.
That's right.
That's you know, because this tick really... It just doesn't make any sense. I know that they, you know, some have said it's about, well, satisfying the social conservatives and whatnot, but it doesn't even do that, because nothing really changes as far as, like, the confidence that Barack has.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they solidified the questions about the rift with him and the Clintons, and I still can't see how this helps you, because I saw a clip of the woman today from when she was being asked some back time back, and a question about, you know, vice president was broached.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, these not her words, but her response and her body language seemed to suggest, well, hey, are you kidding? I'm just a soccer, hockey mom, she calls. So,
yeah, you know, earlier in the program tonight, we played that clip where she was trying. She asked. She said she didn't know what a vice president did.
Yeah, you don't even know the responsibilities.
Right.
I mean, you learn that stuff in high school to pass the Constitution test. So what the job is. But like I said, to me, I think there's a lot more reason to be concerned. If this guy's, you know, if he can't control his fear, and I mean, like, that's a reason to be concerned about someone supposed
sure.
to be president. So I don't know, you know, everybody is talking about, well, you know, other aspects of it, but to me, that's more serious and maybe merits some consideration, because, like I say, he keeps on playing, well, the hero, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of POWs who, you know, had fear too when they, you know, were there, but they didn't make confessions. And he broke. And now, you know, when you make these kind of decisions, which is rash and it's not even logical, you know, I'm just like, well, can you be trusted?
Well, you make a good point, Carl, and I think the fear element or the flashback, the post traumatic stress disorder element, is something real. I really do. We got to keep something in mind. McCain, while he's not an old man, I don't think you start to get old until you're beyond the age of 75, but he's getting close. And when you look at his experience in that North Vietnamese prison camp, where he was treated like the war criminal that he was, and certainly in the minds of the North Vietnamese, my mind too, but I mean, the North Vietnamese are the ones that shot him down, and captured him, because he was bombing their cities and killing their people, for Christ's sake. I mean, if we shot somebody down who was bombing Detroit, what do you think we would do? You know, what if we shot down some a terrorist from some Middle Eastern or South Asian country who was bombing Philadelphia? What would we do? Oh, get real. So I think you're on to something, Carl. I really do. We got a break here? All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back and take some more of your phone calls here. This is the Molloy Program on Nova M Radio. Stay with us.
Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
21 past the hour. Email here from Benny. Mike, what was really bad and insulting about the Clarence Thomas appointment was that he was replacing Thurgood Marshall, a giant legal scholar with a brilliant mind and a tireless civil rights advocate. It was Bush's way, Pappy Bush's way, of showing his disdain and contempt for black folk and their aspirations by appointing an unqualified jurist who would turn the clock back on racial progress while occupying the seat of a revered black icon. It was almost as bad as appointing a Nazi to be the ambassador to Israel. Benny. Yeah, I hear you. Bob writes in, hey, the McCain choice for vice president just proves that the deep-rooted cynicism of the Republican elite is thriving. At the same time, it also proves how dumb they all are. As you mentioned, exactly akin to the Clarence Thomas nomination by George Herbert Walker Bush, they pick a token and know it will satisfy the blind partisan base. But they also have the deep pockets to cram their cynicism down everyone's throats. Here's a quote from All the President's Men from Deep Throat. Look, forget the myths the media's created about the White House. The truth is, these are not very bright guys, and things got out of hand. That's the Republicans' big problem. They've got oodles of evil, but they're just not very smart. They're just not bright enough to concoct a very good story. They never could. Each and every Republican cover-up story over the last 50 years sounded like it was written with crayons. Can't wait to see what happens next. How dumb do they think their base is? And just how dumb is their base? George W. Bush was the most cynical of a candidate ever put forth by the Republican elite. That worked out pretty well for them. Bob. All right, back to your phone calls. Ben is calling from Wilson, North Carolina. Ben, listening on Sirius. Ben, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Yeah.
I've really just got a couple of quick points to throw out there in the debate this evening. My first question is, where's Christy Todd Whitman and what does she think about this? Really, I mean, this Palin girl, she seems like she was groomed by Karl Rove's hand with all the 9/11 coincidences, and I did pick up on the kind of McCain looking down.
Yeah.
Checking out her rear a little bit too, but,
yeah, well.
Really, I was hoping that he would have picked like Alan Keyes or somebody, you know. But
that would have been another classic example of tokenism. Alan Keyes, is he still loose?
No, probably floating around there somewhere. Going to be on Fox News soon.
No, nobody has put him someplace quiet where there's a lot of bird song.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well. I hear what you're saying. Not just Christy Todd Whitman, Ben, but also there are Republican women who, whether you're Democrat or Republican, who would have qualified for the Republican ticket. Not the women like Olympia Snow Susan. I'm drawing a blank. They are Northeastern Republicans. They're not really Republicans. They're pro-choice. They're anti-war. Yada, yada, yada. I know their voting records don't reflect that, but that's what their personal... And they never would have made it past the screaming Christers who have so deformed the Republican Party. Jesse is calling from Louisville, listening on the internet. Jesse, welcome to the program. Hey, Jesse.
Yeah, hey, Mike. love your show. You know, during your 10 o'clock break, I went online and checked out this Sarah Palin. I went to my favorite blog, America Blog, and they got a story over there that she's under investigation.
Yeah.
Have you talked about that tonight?
Yeah, we brought it up.
I missed that. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it's out there. The investigation is whether or not she used her office to have somebody fired, her brother-in-law, who was a state trooper, I believe, who was married to her sister. I don't know. It sounds like your typical Penny Ante abuse of power. I don't know that she's been accused of anything yet. There's an investigation going on to see if she should be accused of an ethics violation. This is certainly not on the level of anything that the Bush administration has done, but I think it's in keeping with Republican tradition. They use elected public office or appointed public office to punish their enemies. So I don't think Sarah Palin's any different.
Yeah. You know, it's just typical McCain. I mean, it's like it's being on a slippery slope, sliding for the edge, and he's grasping at straws. You know, it's quite obvious that he's desperate, you know, in picking this woman. He's desperate.
I think you're right, Jesse. And I think there's more at play here, like some of the emailers and callers have said tonight. There's more at play here than just his desperation. I think he really got to the bottom of the barrel. There are so many, now understand what I'm saying. There are so many qualified Republican women who could have gone on that ticket with McCain, but he, for some reason, chose this one.
Another one return that I'll never use.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 25 before the hour. A couple more emails here. This is from Paula, excuse me, in Bayonne, New Jersey, referring to the introduction of Palin's family. Mike, damn, that sounded like one of those annoying family newsletters people send out during the holidays. You know, the ones you usually get from people about whom you really don't give a blank. And about those names, Track, let's hope Mark isn't his middle name. Trig, who does that to a child? When I saw Trig, I asked my husband if the middle name could be Onometry. And we both laughed. When I saw his actual middle names, I thought Onometry wouldn't have been so bad after all. Paula. Tom writes, Mike, please don't underestimate the depth and degree of American hatreds and ignorance. At most, 50 million Americans will vote Democratic, probably less with all the disaffected so-called Pumas. 100 million Americans are chronic apathetics. But with McCain and Ms. Fishbait, every right-wing, moral majority, Christian, Bible-thumping, Republican, racist hate-monger will come out and vote in droves for the sake of God and country. Then throw in Diebold's electoral frauds already in place, and I'm willing to wager these cretins will win by 10 or 20 million votes. Easy. Well, you remember the now discredited Malloy plan. Give it to McCain. Let's see. Gary writes from Vermont. Mike, I've been laughing hysterically over the response of the right-wing freaks over McCain's selection of Sarah Palin for his vice presidential nominee. I've been reading posts on right-wing freak boards saying what a great choice she is. Apparently, these people are unaware that she implemented a windfall profits tax on oil companies in Alaska and is giving the proceeds to the people of Alaska. When Obama proposed this idea, they branded it socialist. Maybe it isn't socialist when a Republican does it. I guess this goes to show how easily the right-wing freaks are led around by the nose. As long as it is Republicans, it doesn't matter what it says or does. All that matters is that it is a Republican. Without knowing her stands, if any, on foreign affairs, and notwithstanding her anti-choice and anti-gay marriage positions, her support for windfall profit taxes on oil companies and the redistribution of the oil company wealth, coupled with her propensity for going after corrupt Republicans and having a proud union member for a husband, would almost qualify her as a flaming liberal. When the right-wing freaks realize, if they ever do, how un-Republican some of her positions are, will they still want her as their VP candidate? Gary in Reigate, Vermont. Yeah, Gary, of course they will, because she is a creationist, anti-gay marriage, and against a woman's right to privacy where it concerns her reproductive choices. So it doesn't make any difference. The other stuff. I mean, she could advocate, peace and love with the Russians. She could advocate a treaty, an honest to God treaty with of understanding with Muslim nations. She could advocate a forced resolution of problems between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and none of that would matter to the right-wing base. There are only two or three issues the right-wing base cares about. You know, is God included, their God, not somebody else's God, but their God. Will she invade a woman's right to privacy, which apparently she is willing to do all the way? Will she stop the queers from getting married or having civil rights? And she's pro NRA, so you know. Jan in Oregon, Wisconsin writes, Mike, the Sarah line says Sarah Palin, fundamentalist hockey mom and political joke. Trig, Track, Bristol, Piper, Willow, did this woman fall into a segment of Lord of the Rings? Well, now McCain has one more woman he can call the C word. Comedy Central is doing the happy dance right now. Trust me, we've got this election sewed up, barring another Karl Rove vote-stealing episode. I'm still laughing. Jan in Oregon, Wisconsin. All right, back to your phone calls.
Was the crooked brother named Branch?
I don't know. These names, I don't know where these names come from. I don't know. Angie is calling from Portland, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Angie, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I am offended, completely offended, that there is the assumption that McCain he's going for the ovary vote, seriously.
Uh-huh.
She is a woman that is way too fundamentalist, is not going to represent women very well at all.
Right.
It's offensive to me, and actually, for the Democratic Party, it's a great choice, because I only hope that the Hillary supporters can wake up and look at the options and see that it's not the woman that we're going for. It's the ideals that we're going for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so offensive to me, because I just think that McCain picked this person because she's this all-around, she says, hockey mom. Okay, well, let's say soccer mom, who represents every other woman. That's not fair, because I have the same exact responsibility that she does. But I can think.
Mm-hmm.
It offends me. I'm completely offended.
Well, I would think so, Angie. When I heard, and instead of watching the boob tube today to see what was going on, when I heard what he had done, I couldn't help but immediately flash on the Clarence Thomas appointment by George Herbert Walker Bush. And the poverty of ideas that exists inside the McCain campaign. There's no there. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing. And all this is a cynical play on what McCain's handlers think is a genuine willingness on the part of female Hillary supporters to completely vote against their own interests and vote Republican for a man who will eventually steal their children, in addition to murdering children in other countries, other parts of the world, will do everything in his power to make their lives miserable, including, to a greater degree, I think, than the Democrats, invade their privacy, And he puts this woman who, I don't know, all I know about her is what everyone else knows about her. And that is that she is probably the most unqualified person to be vice president in the history of this republic. But, so what? These are Republicans. It doesn't really matter. It just doesn't matter. But I think were I female, I would be offended to the same degree that were I African-American, I would have been offended by the Clarence Thomas nomination. And last but not least, because I'm an American, I'm pretty much offended by the selections and appointments of both parties, because this is not, I don't want to bring my sourness into the program again tonight, but the two nominees now, although someone pointed out to me, McCain has not been officially nominated yet, but the two nominees really don't have a whole lot for someone like me. And now, who is someone like me? I'm a working-class American. I was brought up as a blue-collar Democrat in a working, poor family. Not unlike Barack Obama, I guess. Not unlike Joe Biden, I guess. But I spent a lot of years being a slacker, spent a lot of time busting my ass, spent a lot of time as a single parent, as a married parent, yada, yada, yada. The whole, the whole story, the whole story. And have learned a lot, I think, because I'm at an age, if I haven't learned a lot, then my life has been a waste. And I don't think my life has been a waste. I really don't. I think I've learned a lot. And the thing I've learned politically is I have seen the de-evolution of both political parties into a slimy pool of corporate-owned garbage. But I'm willing to play. I have a lot of, at stake in the future because I have a four-year-old and I have grandchildren. But what the hell am I going to do? See? So I'm willing to play. I hope against hope that either party, I really don't care at this point which one, but at some point there, or a third party, or fourth, or sixth, or 20th, or a party we can't even imagine right now, or something as common, as old as the Socialist Party, eventually produces candidates, leaders, who will do what we all need to be done. Now, the other side of that coin is those candidates are being produced now, so the other wish is that eventually the American people will get the courage the courage to just step back and say, I've had enough of this. I'm going to start voting for what makes sense. Oh, well, I can dream, right?
Holding on to my granddad's hand, he was pointing to the promised land that lay beyond the reservation road. He said, don't
10 before the hour.
You won't keep, don't betray the earth beneath your feet.
Weird night, weird week, all of it, all of it. Thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. And I think tomorrow we'll have a new, for you Nova M founders, a new Malloy reads his obscenity-laced hate mail video up at novamradio.com in the founding member section. Back to your phone calls. Bill, listening in Palmdale, California on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Oh, good. Is this Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'm Mike. First time to call you. I'm kind of in shock at your show, to be perfectly honest with you. I've yet to figure out why you liberals seem to think this young lady that Mr. McCain has picked as his running mate. First off, you say she's a token. Well, if I'm not mistaken, you guys had the first token black and the first token woman, Hillary and Obama.
Token?
So, yeah, I told them token. Wouldn't you? The first one?
No. I think a token is somebody who is picked. I think a token is someone who has no experience and is picked just to be able to say to...
You mean like Mr. Obama?
All right, get rid of this ass. Get rid of him. Just dump him. I can't take this crap, you know. Let me say once again, especially to you, Bill, you know, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I would appreciate it if you freaks would not call the program because apparently your parents never raised you on the proper way to conduct a conversation with your betters. And I find that offensive. So don't call. Okay, Bill, just continue to play with yourself or do whatever it is you do. But don't call this program, all right? Because in the first place, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Secondly, I try to be polite to you people. I try to carry on dialogue with you people. And it's pointless. And I should know this after 24 years in this business. So please, right-wingers, don't call. Go to some other program and call up and do your thing. But don't call here because there's no point in it. You know, you're going to get a few words out and it's going to become clear that you're just a jackass and I'm going to hang up on you. So I would appreciate it that you don't call. Seriously, I mean it. Okay? Thank you. I appreciate it. Ken is calling from Orchid, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Ken.
Hi, how you doing? Oh, my God, I got to follow that, huh?
Oh, no, that's right. It happens all the time. I just wish they would go away. I'm not the least bit interested in right-wingers.
Gotcha. Oh, it's good to talk to you. I've been listening for a long time.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I've been, I smell a rat. I smell them everywhere. I guess that's my cross to bear, though.
Yeah? What's the rat you smell this time?
Well, let's see. Sarah Palin from the vast wilderness of Alaska. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a comedy troupe called Monty Python's Flying Circus. Are you familiar with them?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, one of them was called Michael Palin, and he had a song called the Lumberjack Song.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of put two and two together here. So you're with me then. Yeah, your screener had no idea.
Well, he's very young.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, he's very, well, he's probably considerably younger than you are. I know he's, you know, I've got food in my refrigerator older than Ian. So, yeah, I don't think Monty Python, he may know who Monty Python is, but he wouldn't know about the Goons, and he wouldn't know about that was the week that was.
No idea, uh-huh. Mike. Uh-huh. No idea.
Yeah, the Goonies. Yeah.
See, there he is, the Goonies. That was Ian.
Sorry, Goonies. Sorry. Yeah.
No, the Goonies, the Goons.
Well, oh, okay, different group.
BBC group.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Monty Python, very familiar. Very familiar.
I just kind of put those two things together with her living up, like I said, in the vast wilderness of Alaska.
Sure.
Home of the spruce and the ponderosa pine, and I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. So, yeah, I'm thinking something's wrong here. I think that there's a joke coming on to us here.
There may be. I just hope that the joke doesn't have a hideous punchline that is going to, you know. This is going to put us all in deep jeopardy. All right, thanks, Ken. Appreciate you checking in. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on the Internet. Hey, Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I had to get the Internet because they discontinued the radio station out here.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know how to use my computer, but I have basically your stream from Phoenix going on all the time.
Oh, great.
So I can get the news. The point I wanted to make, which I didn't think anyone else made, was that, and I know several Christian conservative women, definitely having a special needs child that was an infant would be their first concern. So this woman is not doing what she claims to be. Her actions do not, in fact, match the person she presents herself to be.
You mean she should stay home and take care of her child?
Absolutely. If she is a good Christian woman that is pro-choice, you know, you don't get an abortion whether you have a special needs child, but because she has some money, she can pass it off. Well, that's not most women. They're going to have to stay home. And, of course, most conservative Christian women that are anti-abortion right. are the ones that are undereducated, that do stay home, that is their role in life,
right.
and she is completely living in a way that is opposite to what she says. So, you know, beware of the snake in the grass, even if it wears a skirt.
Yeah, oh, you know? Yeah. Oh, sure.
And I'm a woman, so I can say that. And I know that Barack Obama is a very much a gentleman and is not going to go on the attack, but I can do that, I guess, because I have a vagina.
All right.
Love you, and I'm glad that your family is doing well, and keep your head up, all of you.
All right, Jen. Jen, listen, I got to leave it there. I do because we're out of time. That's the best line I've ever heard in talk radio. I have a vagina.
And I'm not afraid to use it.
Oh, my God. Have a great weekend. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I'm going straight to hell.
Yeah, I'll be back Tuesday. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
I'm going.